Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside, located in Eva Beach. At Hope Chapel, we have a heart to reach out and to help provide hope and healing through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Now this morning, you'll notice that our title is The Birth of Hope, and then John 3:16. So you guys probably should have that memorized, right? Because then we used to see that football games. There's people that don't even know the Lord that know that verse. I wanted to ask you to do something this morning to start out our talk. Imagine somebody in your life. Try to focus on a person in your life that has been influential. Somebody, it could be an aunt, an uncle, could be your mom or dad, but for the sake of the illustration, say it's a friend, maybe it was a teacher in school who helped you get through school. Maybe it was somebody who just was there for you when you were down. It could have been a coworker. But think about right now, somebody in your life that if they were never born, it would affect you. You don't know where you would be. Man, if that person wasn't in my life, I don't know where I would be. Think about them right now. You got it? You got that person in your mind? It would be a different life, wouldn't it? And if you ever get to watch this black and white movie, it's played 100 different times. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. You guys ever heard of it? It's a Wonderful Life. There's Jimmy Stewart in it, and basically he wishes that he was dead. There's an angel comes and he shows them this whole possibility if he was never born, what life would have been like, and then see all these different families that his life has affected. Well, I want you to think, just imagine what this world would be like. I know we have problems in this world, but what would it be like if Jesus was never born? I want to share with you some things this morning, some illustrations to hopefully help you understand how the world was affected by Christ. You see, we take for granted, I think, Jesus' birth. We take for granted many people that don't even know Jesus. They think, well, Jesus was, he's a religious figure. There's a lot of religious figures. We have Buddha, and we have Muhammad, and we have a lot of religious figures, but Jesus was more than that. Jesus literally changed the way the world thinks, the way we act, our systems of government. Many things changed. And I just want to share three things. There's a book that kind of inspired me to talk about this, and I've shared this before, by Dr. James Kennedy, What If Jesus Was Never Born. It's a small book. I recommend you get a copy of it. But I just want to share three areas just to give you an idea. Now, would you say that every human life, every life on this planet, every human life is valuable? Nod your head. You're thinking, yeah, okay. Every life has, some of you guys are really aggressively nodding there. But think about just, you know, that statement. Well, every life has value. Every life is worthy of dignity, right? And respect. Everybody's worthy of respect. And you think, do you think most people think that on the planet, right? Yeah, most people, yeah. You know, people are valuable. Life is valuable. What if I told you that 2,000 years ago, before the birth of Christ, that was not the majority opinion? People didn't think like that. They didn't think everybody was equal, and they didn't think every life had value. In fact, under Roman rule, and not only Roman law, but under Greek law and most of your pagan laws, the pagan nations, life was cheap. Life was not respected as much. And so it was more about what you were worth was what you could do for somebody, right? Yeah, but this innate value, we didn't look at things like that. In fact, while we reel in horror at a lot of the news stories that we hear, right, things done to children, right, that is the worst nightmare parent could ever have, right? Something happened to your little baby or your little child, but did you know that infanticide or abandonment of one's children was not only common and acceptable, but legal under Roman law before Christ was born? In fact, the law said that a father has total rule. Basically, a father could do anything he wants. A father was the owner of his children. And not only Roman, but a lot of societies before Christ. And a father had the right to either kill his child, let them live, or sell them. Shocking, right? I know, it's real quiet. See, I study history. The reason I study history is because I don't want to be fooled today. When you know history, you can learn not to repeat the bad stuff, right? But we take for granted this value of life today. But you see, children were the sole property of their father. But see, Christ came into the world. And when Christ came into the world, what did he do? He went to the lowest of the classes, or he went to people that were beggars or people that were lepers and touched them, which was unthinkable even in that society, right? He went to the least of these, right? And he would eat. And the Pharisees, which were the kind of the elite religious guys, would think, why are you with tax collectors and sinners? Back then, tax collectors, I guess they just threw them in there as a, you know, because they would collect the taxes, but then they would kind of take more than they needed for themselves. And so they were very unpopular. But through Jesus' teachings, Jesus elevated, and he brought value to all lives, from the womb all the way to the oldest person who can't take care of themselves. Gang, we take for granted the compassion that we have in this world towards other people. And we don't realize that before Christ was around, you know, there was a lot of things. Let's look at a list. Jesus forever changed how we value life. After Jesus was born, he affected, through Christianity, through the church, I mean, just the look with compassion on the poor. Did people in the old, or people before Christ look with compassion on the poor? Maybe some individuals did. But overall, you know, we take that for granted. Look at how many Christian organizations we have, right? Most of the charitable organizations we have that feed the poor, that clothe people, that find help for the homeless, that reach out, go into Africa and dig wells and get clean drinking water. Most of these are Christian organizations, or they started out as Christian organizations. Even the secular organizations that are charitable owe much of the influence to Christian values. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you need to consider others before yourself. That wasn't a thing, right? Do unto others. What's the golden rule? Is it do to others before they do to you? No, that's not it? Is it do to others faster? No. Do to others if they only do to you? No. Do unto others as you would what? Want to be done unto you, or however you want to phrase it, that's the Noah's the golden rule. Treat others better than yourselves. Especially take care of the poor, take care of those that cannot help themselves. This compassion that we have, and especially in the Western society, is in even the United States gives tons of money all over the world. And people, individuals, I'm not just talking to government, us as individuals, we reach out with compassion. Christians reach out with compassion all over the world, and we help people, but it was not always that way. In fact, when you research history, if you go back to pre-Christian, that is before 2000 BC, or before, well, it's basically before 2,000 years ago, you cannot find any type of benevolence, any organization to help the poor. You don't find that attitude. It was basically, hey, I got to take care of myself. And so the Good Samaritan, right? You know the story about the Good Samaritan, and we have these Good Samaritan programs, and you know, you ought to help somebody who's down and out. That was not the thought before Jesus came into the world, but through Jesus and through his influence, many of these things begin to change. In fact, the value of life. What about the gladiatorial games? Now, we have boxing, yeah? You guys like boxing? You're like, I'm in church, I'm not raising my hand. But maybe you guys watch boxing or some of that stuff, some of the sports. Well, see, there's a difference between modern boxing and modern combat-type sports and what they had in Rome. See, today, you get to walk out of the ring alive. You get to keep your life. And there's rules, and they stop it, and there's a referee. But back in the day, not many people walked out of the arena alive. Gladiatorial games was called blood sport. In blood sport, basically, you literally fought for your life. And if you were about to die, if you had been beaten, the emperor would give you either a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Thumbs down, sorry, dude. Christians were basically just thrown in there to be massacred. People love to watch other people die. It was crazy. And you're thinking, that's crazy. It could never happen. It happened. That was the value of life. It was entertainment for human beings to watch other human beings die. That's crazy, right? Now, we think that, but we take that for granted. We don't realize that when Jesus came in, that he affected the law so much it overturned Rome. And Rome actually outlawed the gladiatorial games and outlawed the killing like that. Rome gave children rights that they could no longer be just sold or killed by their parents. And you saw society begin to have compassion, begin to rise up to higher levels. Jesus and those who loved him begin to change the world. It started in Rome, and Rome is interesting because God allowed Jesus to be born right at the right time, at the right place, in an empire that still influences us today. Our modern calendar is a Roman calendar. We have a Senate, that's Greek and Roman. We have many influences today, but the greatest influence, especially that has given rise to Western society, America and England and all these, is through Jesus. His influence. What about education? You're thinking, mass or universal education. Think about this. Today, most people in the world can read and write. Isn't that cool? You're thinking, nah, I don't like to read. Well, don't take it for granted. Because back in the day, very few people, maybe even 10%, maybe not even 10% of people in the world knew how to read or write. They were not literate. But only the wealthy, only the rich, only the elite could afford an education. So what happened when Jesus was born? Well, he affected life in such a way. Actually, it was up until about 500 years ago. See, even, did you know, 500 years ago, 12% of the population was literate. 500 years ago, what happened? Well, something called the Reformation happened. Basically, it was, you guys can study this, but they began to pull away from the universal or the Catholic Church. Only the priests could read the Bible. They could read it in Latin. It was in Latin. It wasn't in a language you can actually speak. It was only in Latin, and only the priests could read it, and the church interpreted it. But during the Reformation, there was a conviction that everybody should be able to read the Bible for themselves and let the Holy Spirit interpret it. Amen? So what happened is that the Bible began to start with Martin Luther, and the Bible began to, it got translated first into German, and then into English, and into French, and all these different languages that people could read. But see, most people couldn't read. So wait a minute. So we're translating the Bible, but people can't read. What's going on? Well, in 1564, Gutenberg invented the printing press, And that changed everything. Because now you could take a book and mass produce it. You want to know what the very first book that was mass produced was? Give you a hint. You're in church, right? It's the Bible. In fact, one of the very first books, the Gutenberg Bible, you can see it on display right now in our Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. You just go right in the front door. It's right there. It's huge. So they printed the Bible, and they started producing this and all the spoken languages. But they had a problem and said, we got to educate the people. And so Christian leaders made it their mission to begin educating everybody in the world, getting everybody able to read and to write. See, we take this for granted. But you see, being able to read the Bible and know the truth, know the gospel of God, that was a catalyst for public education. In fact, there was a man, John Calvin. I don't know if you guys have been in the church, you probably know who John Calvin is. But John Calvin was a great theologian. But most people don't know today that he was the father of universal education. Long before Horace Mann or Dewey or the guys in the American system of education came along, 500 years ago, John Calvin, he started what was called the Geneva Academy. And from there, it became a pattern upon which most of our colleges were based. Did you know most colleges in America were started as training centers for missionaries? That's what colleges were. They were missionary training centers. Isn't that interesting? Now, some of you guys are like, man, this is a history lesson on Christmas. But let me tell you, I'll get to why this is important. But they started sending missionaries, and they sent them to all kinds of nations, and they began to educate the people. And they, if they didn't have a written language, they would write the language. And once the people were educated, and then they would translate the Bible into the language, they would learn the gospel, and they would be saved. In fact, right now you can go down, you guys should all go through the Mission House tour downtown if you have not yet. Because what happened as this effort, as missionaries went throughout the world, as the Bible was mass produced and translated in many languages, literacy soared throughout Europe, soared throughout the nations, to where only, instead of it was 12% knew how to read and write, was like maybe only 10, 12 or more percent was illiterate or didn't know how to read or write. It just soared just because we wanted to get the gospel out. Now, missionaries came here to Hawaii. The Hawaiians did not have written language. It was always spoken. And so the missionaries translated it, and the Bible is like this huge. You can see it. It looks like a box rather than a book. It's huge. From that effort, Hawaii became the most literate nation on the planet. 98% literacy rate right here. Why? Because people were infused with the Spirit of God. And these are just three areas. I'm not going to get into talking about the other areas, government and whatnot. But think about that. The value of human life. The fact that you can read and write. The fact that you have compassion in your heart for people that are less fortunate than you. You can thank that Jesus was born. Amen? You can thank God. Thank you for sending your son. Because I don't know what this world would have looked like if he had not come. That's why we celebrate this season. Does that make sense? The things we take for granted, even atheists who, there were some atheist type groups that had this these billboards. I don't know, it's a couple years ago. It said, you can be good without God. And there was kind of these anti-Christmas campaign. I'm not sure what they were trying to do, but they were trying to say, you don't need God to be benevolent. You don't need God to be good. But they don't know their history. Because if they did, they would realize that even people who do not believe in God, who aren't necessarily religious, still, your thinking, many of your opinions that are formed, much of your compassion that you have for others around you, this type of mindset, you are living in a Christian framework of thinking. That's a Christian way of thinking. And that's been handed down through the ages, so much so that we think, oh, well, it didn't just evolve out of nowhere. Somebody didn't just wake up one day and go, I think you're going to treat other people nicely. Right? Does that come natural? A lot of times it's like, no, just survival comes natural. But this idea of going outside of ourselves, of being something beyond ourselves, of giving hope to other people, it's something that comes from God. And the great thing is, even people that don't acknowledge his presence, they still get affected because God's moving through the people around them. Isn't that incredible? We cannot even imagine what the world would be like if Christ was not born. And most of all, I think about eternity. Jesus Christ came to this world not just to be an example for us, but to die on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for our sin, for our rebellion, for our wrongdoing, that if we would believe in him and what he had done for us, that we would be reconciled to God, that we can now have a relationship with God, because that's what it all comes down to. Do you want to be in a relationship with your Creator or not, right? And that's a decision we all have to make. In John 3:16, it says it very simply. You guys know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want anybody perishing, but he wants everybody to be with him. God wants the joy of your company with him, in his presence. And you know what? Not just when you die or when he comes back again, but right now, he wants to be in your life. And if you ask him, he will send his Spirit to be within you. And get this, not only do you have a relationship with him, but hope is birthed in you through God. And what happens, do you know how God affected all these things? Do you know how God affected the education and all this stuff? It was people just like you and I, that were filled with the Spirit of God, that said yes to God, and they became beacons of hope. And they began to go out to the world and begin to be effective in whatever area God was calling them to, whether it would be education or whether it was evangelism, or often both were mixed together. And I'm not sure what God's calling each and every one of you today, but let me tell you this. What he wants to do in your life is greater than just making you happy and comfortable. I mean, he does want you to have joy and happiness, but he wants you to have his Spirit in you, bringing hope to the rest of the world. You see, hope came into this world 2,000 years ago, and hope came into people who were willing to receive God into their lives. And it affected us forever. It affected all of history, government, the way we do everything, the way we think. And most of all, give us a way to be reconciled to God. And so I pray this season, even today as we pray, consider this. That there's nothing you have done so wrong. There is no place you have gone too far. There is no wall that you have built so high that God cannot penetrate through into your life and transform you fundamentally and use you for his glory and use you to bring hope into this world. And how many of you guys know this world needs hope? Amen. And so I pray that soften your heart this morning as we pray. And if that's you today and you're just saying, I want that hope within me, and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and lead me in the ways of righteousness and use me to affect the people around me.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomoa Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information, just visit our website at www.hopechapelwestside.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave from Hope Chapel Westside. If this broadcast has been helping you learn the Bible and grow spiritually, we would love to hear from you. We would also be grateful for any financial support to keep us on the air. If you'd like to contact us or give a donation, please go to hopechapelwestside.net and leave us a message or send a donation on our giving page. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord.